listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. This is Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. We have service tonight. We would love to see you. We're going through the book of 2 Corinthians on Wednesday nights. Sunday mornings, we're in the book of Hebrews. Wednesday nights, we're in 2 Corinthians, and we will be in chapter 11 here tonight at 6 o'clock. You are invited. We'd love to see you. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, 6 to 7. You're invited. Love to see you live if possible, or go to the YouTube page, the Facebook page, Island Community Church. That'll turn on live right at 6 o'clock. So we would love to see you. This Sunday, my sermon is called Looking Unto Jesus. We're up to chapter 12. We're up to the encouragements here in chapter 12 to focus on Jesus, to throw off all of these encumbrances, the sin that so easily ensnares us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. We'd love to see you here now. We're in the book of Revelation. This is what we've been playing here on WGOD on the radio here. We're going through. We just started a few weeks ago now, the book of Revelation, verse by verse. We're in chapter 2. We're going to look at the next church, and that is this church at Pergamos. Revelation chapter 2. Let me read the whole thing to you, this letter to this. What I'm believing is the pastor of this church. Now, to the angel of the church at Pergamos, right? Or messenger to the church at Pergamos, right? These things says he that has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give him some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a new stone, and on the stone a new name written, in which no one knows except him who receives it. Now, I've got that on a handout. If you would like a copy of that with the scripture verses, this is from a sermon I've preached a while ago, this handout here, all the scripture references, and where we're going here with this church here, write to me. It's elected77@gmail.com, and I can send that to you. Now, we're in chapter 2, the Lord's letter to the persecuted church at Smyrna. So again, let me reiterate, all seven of these churches represent seven types of churches found in every age. That's why the Lord said last week, he who has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Plural. Yes, this letter is written to the pastor, the spiritual leader, the messenger of one church, but we all can glean something out of that. Now, today, if a Christ follower from Iran or China or the Middle East somewhere reads through the book of Revelation, perhaps the Lord's letter to Smyrna would have really hit home for them when we looked at the persecuted church. That's where we were at here last week. So imagine sitting there in Iran and reading, "Indeed, Satan is about to throw some of you into prison, and you will be tested for 10 days. See, that might not hit home for you here today, but for people in other countries, it certainly does. This is not just written to the spiritual leader of the church at Smyrna only. We all can grasp something from that. For instance, these numbers, numerology in the Bible, numerology in the book of Revelation. The number 10 in the Bible is a number of testing. Read Genesis 24:55, Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, and Acts chapter 25, verse 6. Remember, understand the symbols and you'll understand the book. Now, for us here at Island Community Church, I will blow our own horn here and say that we are members of the faithful church because we sit under the word of God and we do what he says. We don't hide or shy or shun the tough words that come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent or else. We don't shy away from that. We listen to, we sit under the whole counsel of God. We don't shy away. Sin is still sin at our church. I would personally die 1,000 deaths before we lost the 5-star rating from the Son of God. You know, I like that. The 5-star rating. This is a 5-star church in the Lord Jesus' church guide. Now, if your church is not preaching on the whole counsel of God, or still calling a spade, then you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to move to help to transform you more and more daily and daily into the image of Jesus Christ. Remember, we are being transformed into the image of his Son every day. But if the preacher's not preaching the word of God, how are you going to be transformed? It's the word that transforms us. When was the last time you've been convicted of sin at church? When was the last time through the message preached, you have understood that you've fallen short of the glory of God? Those aren't bad things. Those are good things. We read in the book of Hebrews that when that kind of stuff stops happening to you, he says, something's wrong. The Bible says that if we are not disciplined by the Lord, then we are illegitimate and not sons. But the pastor's got to preach the word. We sit under the word of God. We let him speak to us through his word, and we do what he says. Okay, now we're looking at this compromising church that didn't do that. They compromised on some truths. Again, verse 12, now to the pastor of the church in Pergamos, right? These things, or thus says he that has the sharp two-edged sword. All right, why the sharp sword? We're talking of the Lord Jesus, right? Love and peace, little chicken grease. Why the sharp sword? Why in the world would he need that? God is love. Why would he need a sword? Answer, to slay unbelievers. Sorry. But that's the truth. No more baby Jesus, not this time, not when he returns. No more baby Jesus. No more blasphemy. No more slanderous words. No more flogging. No more pulling out his beard. No more despicable hatred towards his name. And no more crucifying him again, not this time. Now, and at least at this time, it would not be the time for salvation. And Now is the time and the day for vengeance once that happens. Here's what that looks like. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, since it is a righteous thing with God. So I'm answering the question, why does the Lord Jesus describe himself here as these things, says he who has the sharp two-edged sword? Why does he say that, and what does he mean by that? To understand why he said it, we have to go and look at what's going to happen when he returns. That's why he gives this attribute to himself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that don't know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Now, maybe you think that's a little bit harsh, isn't it? Keep reading. Verse 9, these, that would be those who don't know God and those who don't obey the gospel, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day, capital D, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So, thus says the Son of God, who has the sharp double-edged sword, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on, number one, those that don't know God. We'd have to say, just like you said in chapter one, even so, amen. That is, it is what it is, so be it. It is what it is. He's inflicting vengeance on all of those that don't know God, even so, amen. He's inflicting vengeance on everyone that does not obey the gospel, even so, amen. It is what it is. He's taking vengeance on everyone that doesn't obey the gospel. So what does his sword look like anyway? Let me read it to you. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, so that with it he may strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, so the sword is his tongue, his words, his speech, the words which proclaim on one hand, peace, be still. The words which proclaim, little girl, I say to you, arise. The words which proclaim, Lazarus, come forth. The words which declare to a tree, may no fruit ever grow on you ever again. And here the words are going to be, drop dead. But never fear, because he's not talking to you. He's just talking to everyone who doesn't obey the gospel. He's just talking to everyone who doesn't know God. Even so, amen. It is what it is. But don't come down too hard on him, because the Lord Jesus is shouting from the rooftops every day. His offer of salvation is on display. every day. It's still today. Praise God. If you can hear this, it's still today. It's not tomorrow. Tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, it's too late. It's still today. That's why the Apostle Paul writes in the Bible, says, we then as workers together with him, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. And this starts with the word today. So what day is it? That's today. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in my heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. That is Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. So, don't call him too harsh, friends. God says, all day long I have stretched out my arms to a disobedient and obstinate people, Romans 10, 21. And the time is coming, and I believe is coming soon, that this day and this age of grace that we live in is going to be completed. At that point, everything changes. At that point, everything has changed. Friend, I believe that time is running rapidly, running short here. I look, remember the Middle East, Israel is the place to look, to put your thumb on the pulse of what's going on in eschatology and in God's plan. That's the place to look. It's not Missouri or San Diego or Australia. It's Israel. You know, they asked the Lord Jesus one day. They said to him, Lord, are there just a few who will be saved? And he replied, all right, notice he doesn't say yes, and he doesn't say no. Instead, he says, strive, Greek word agonizo. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, wrap your minds around this here today on this Wednesday. Lord, are there few people that are going to be saved? His answer, strive. That's always the answer. I guarantee this answer to be right. Whether or not, no matter when you think Jesus is coming back, no matter what you believe about the rapture, the right answer is strive. That's always the right answer. That's an infallible answer, is strive. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Many will seek to enter through the narrow gate and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at that door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Church, believers, everyone out here today, here's my voice. I believe that the Son of God is standing at the doors. He's no longer seated. We've just read through in the book of Hebrews here that when he finished what he did, offering the offering, sacrifice of himself, presented his blood to the original temple in heaven, the Bible says that he sat down. Well, I believe he's standing up again, and he's getting ready to return at any time. I believe he's standing at the doors. Every prophecy to date in my Bible has been fulfilled without fail. There's no reason to believe any other is going to fail. I promise you, as a matter of fact, they will not fail. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. And that is going to be because the door for salvation is going to be shut earlier than what people think it's going to be. God still has a plan with Israel. I was just talking about this at breakfast with another believer this morning, where he says, I tell you this mystery. He says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. You see, there's a number known only to God that includes hopefully you, maybe your mother, your son, your daughter, maybe your grandmother, maybe your grandchild or a friend or a family member, someone else that you run into and tell them about Jesus. There is a number that's known only to God. And once that number is hit, then it's all over. It's no longer today. And that's why the urgency in the Bible, I just read to you the verses of urgency, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, Luke chapter 13, verse 24, are there a few that'll be saved? That's not what's important. What's important is to strive. The word agonizo, it's the same Greek word used of the Lord Jesus when it says when he sweat great drops of blood and he agonized in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Catch the urgency there is the same urgency that you and I need to enter in through the narrow gate. Believe God at his word here today. Strive to enter in through the narrow gate. You'll know that the time is close when there is a one world power that has the authority to tell you what to do or else. I saw the other day, actually this was a while ago now, a smiling woman on the video passing her hand, and she had a chip embedded in her hand, and she passed it over a checkout scanner in order to buy, laughing about it. You see, these are the things that he warned. These are the ways that you will know that his return is imminent and his return is near. You know what? We'll wrap it up here. Now let's read through another verse here. Verse 13. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name. And you did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. That's the second time he said that now, that this place here, Pergamos, is where Satan hung his hat, apparently. I can think of lots of places here in the United States where Satan hangs his hat. Madison, Wisconsin is one. Or Washington, D.C., I certainly could see that here, where Satan's throne is. And the same as last week here, the Lord proclaims that he knows everyone's works, including yours. He knows your works. He's commending them for that. We read in Hebrews 6:10, said, for God is not unjust to forget your work. God is not unjust to forget your work. And your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. He sees what you're doing. He has not forgotten your work. Now there, we will wrap up our study here for today. We'll pick it up here again. We're looking at this third church. We started with Ephesus, the church that had left their first love. You could find yourself a member in any one of these, a loveless church. He tells the pastor there, repent or else. We saw the persecuted church that was being persecuted. Remember the people there originally at that time that had to sign an affidavit and burn incense and that had to swear that Caesar was Lord and had to worship him. Now we're at this third church here, Pergamos. He commends them. He knows their works. He knows where they live. That is, they share the devil's zip code. And he commends them that they did not deny his faith. Remember, it's his faith. It's the Lord's faith. It's the faith of Christ that he has given to us. So we will pick it up there again here in our program Thursday. I invite you guys to church tonight. If you are unable to attend, why don't you watch along with us here as soon as you get to your destination on Facebook, search for Island Community Church. That feed will turn on right in a few minutes if you're tuned in here a few minutes to 6 in the evening right now. And we're going to go and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Going to be a great study here tonight, where the Apostle Paul teaches us that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing, or it's no biggie, if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Adrian Rogers used to say, that's where you're going to find the devil, behind the pulpits across America. That's where we're going to be coming up at 6 o'clock here tonight. Tomorrow, we'll pick up the rest of this letter. We'll pick it up here where we left off at the Lord's letter to the pastor of this church, the compromising church of Pergamos. Do you find yourself in a church, in a compromising church? That's where we're going to be at. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Until then, you're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
would I come?